Hey, so as we jump in, Luke chapter 22, as I think about it, some of you are here tonight because you're like, man, I came Sunday and they said this was going to happen later in the week. And so I'm just here because you told me to show up here. And if that's you, I'm glad you're here. Maybe you came because a friend invited you tonight to come join us. They're like, hey, we're going to have ice cream. And you're like, I'm coming, man. Ice cream's a good time. We have so much ice cream, okay? So make sure afterwards tonight you get some ice cream as well. But whatever the reason that you're here tonight, I want you to know the reason that we're here tonight. The reason that we're here tonight is because we want to just make and draw our attention on the only one who is great, the only one who is worthy, and that's Jesus himself, right? And so maybe for you, you kind of came in checking things out, and if that's you, man, I'm so glad. Maybe you're not sure what you think about God. Maybe you're not sure what you think about Jesus. I hope this can be a place where you can explore, be challenged, things like that. I even hope, I'm just going to put my cards on the table. I hope that you would meet and encounter and experience Jesus because we think he is the hope of the world. We think that he is the only one worth kind of gathering for, right? But some of you are here tonight and you have been following Jesus maybe for a long time. And my deep desire is this, as we kind of launch this thing into the fall here, we're going to be here every Thursday night. My deepest desire is that I want to see you guys grow in your faith. I want to see some of you guys just kind of be fed the word of God in ways that would challenge you, in ways that would just kind of fill your heart, encourage you as Maisie prayed. And then my hope is this, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. My hope is not just that you're fed, because what happens when you get fed is you get fat, right? Right? I don't want a bunch of fat people around here. My hope is this, that you get fed the word of God, but that you would somehow exercise it. Right? That you would be inspired into the mission of God, that God, what he does is he calls us to move. He calls us to action, right? He actually has a plan and a desire for your life. And so with that, Isaiah says this, the whole reason why we're gathering, why we're doing this on a night, on Thursday night, why would we do this is Isaiah says this, behold, I am doing a new thing now. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, in the rivers, and in the deserts. Everybody say, I am for a second. Say, I am.
I am.
I am. That Jesus, here's what I want you to know. We're not doing a new thing. Some of you think like, oh, young adults is doing a new thing. We're not. I want to actually fix your mindset a little bit that we're not doing a new thing. God is. God's doing a new thing. And so what we wanted, we felt burdened by God. This wasn't like a, oh, Ethan has Thursday nights free. Let's see if we can get him out here and hang out on a Thursday night. Maybe you got free time. Like, that wasn't our hope. That wasn't our desire. That our whole desire is that I am, that God wanted to do something tonight in and through us and throughout the fall. It's because of Jesus. It's for Jesus. It's done by Jesus. And it's for the honor and glory of Jesus tonight. He's the one who gets the glory. He's the one we worship. He's the one we want. And he's the one that we have hope in. And we are burdened by God for this. Here's the other thing that I want you to see in this passage. It says a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. That God, he wants to do a new thing. And here's what I've seen. I've been doing young adults ministry in some fashion, form or another for about 10 years. And I would tell you this, that God is on the move in a lot of ways in young people's lives in a way that I've not seen. So it is absolutely him, and he is working a new thing. He's working a fresh thing that I really want to kind of go, God, could you do something here? Could you do something here? And you know what? Some of you might be like, oh, man, I'm a little upset the time changed. Or maybe some of you are like, man, finally, I'm excited that we're doing something different. But we're not just doing a new thing just to do a new thing. We long to see a fresh work of God done in and among our hearts, right? Then the last words I want you to see is this. He says, I will. Everybody say, I will. See, guys, a lot of people can get really excited about God. And what happens is this, they get really excited and they think, you know what? I'll raise a hand. I'll go out. I'll do some awesome things for God, right? And what happens is we can get so self-absorbed. We can get so focused on ourselves that we don't focus on the God who wants to actually accomplish it through us. That it is God, ultimately, his efforts, not ours. And it is for his glory, definitely not our glory. God is the one who will work and get it done. And he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, right? And so with that, I want to lay out the purpose of why we're gathering, okay? I want to lay out the purpose of Thursday nights. What's the whole purpose of this thing? I haven't even told anybody this purpose statement, okay? Here's the purpose. Get ready for this. The purpose is this: to seek a fresh move of God among young adults with hunger, humility, and hustle for the glory and hope of Jesus. Here's what I know. Some of you guys are longing for hope. The events of our world, the circumstances in your own life, that you're longing for hope. And you're longing for something more. And I know this. Some of you have friends that are longing for something more. And so our hope, our desire, our burden, my passion would be this: not fill up a Thursday night with some fun activities and some string lights, which are fun. Took a little bit of a pain to hang up earlier. I was on a ladder over there and terrified. All right. But not that we would, now all of you are like, wow, look at the lights. Yeah. Not that we would do that, but I'm asking, I'm praying, and I'm looking at some of you going, guys, God's on the move, and I want to be a part of it. And I don't know about you, but if God is working, he can't be stopped, and I think he might be inviting some of you guys to be a part of it too. All right, so that's all my intro. All right, you still with me? Everybody still with me? All right. We'll get used to this, okay? We're in this together, all right? It's not just me up here, all right? So we're talking about greatness. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to somebody around you, okay, that you're sitting with. And I want you to ask them this question. Ask them this: what does it mean to be great in our world today, okay? So take just a couple minutes. Talk to the people around you. What does it mean to be great? What does our world think of when they think about greatness? 3, 2, 1, go. All right, come back together with me. What's it mean to be great? Tell me some things that you guys talked about. What's some things our world thinks of when they think about greatness? Do you have enough time? The GOAT, which stands for greatest of all time. I was asking for a friend. Greatest of all time. They think, oh, you got to be the greatest of all time. Who's a GOAT? About to start a debate. I like it. Michael Jordan, LeBron James. How many think Michael Jordan? Anybody think Michael Jordan? Anybody LeBron? Anybody have no idea anything about basketball? Yeah, all right, you're my people. What else? What other things do you think of that our world thinks about when greatness? Give me some things. Money, I heard. Tony, what's that?
Their home country.
The country, yeah. What other things? What's that? Success, right? Power. That our world thinks about a lot of things when it comes to greatness, right? That you guys should probably talk about it, and you're like, who is the GOAT, right? When it comes to whatever area of life, for that greatness is kind of the status, popularity, influence, power, celebrity, followers, whatever the case is. There's a psychologist that says this. I think it's fascinating. He says this. He coined the phrase imaginary audience. Imaginary audience. Which is interesting to me, because what he was talking about in this, his name's David Elkin, and he says this, that there is an audience that is watching our every move, decision, post, word, and how we live. And it's almost like all of us are living on a stage and a platform that we have to perform, but the audience doesn't actually exist. That there's this imaginary audience. And he used the illustration of this, that it's almost like middle school. Think about it. Think about your early teen years when you're in the morning and you're getting ready, and especially gals, maybe a little different than guys, but you're looking in the mirror and you're almost like preparing yourself to get ready to go out on stage, because you want to make sure that you have everybody, you look the part, right? That you look ready to go. That there's some of us that we live our lives in a way that has an imaginary audience, because what happens is we just live our lives. Maybe you were like really nervous to come tonight, and you're like, oh man, I just don't know, what are people going to think about me, right? It's a real thing. It's a real thought. That some of us, it's like, man, I can still remember the most embarrassing moment in my early middle school years, because it's just one that you relive, rethink all the time. It's like a play that we performed, and we had our performance, it didn't go well, the inadequacies happened, and we always think that there's an audience analyzing every single move we make. But here's the reality, here's the truth. The whole time that we're wondering what they think about us, do you know what they're wondering? What you think about them, right? The audience is actually totally imaginary. It drives us to insecurity. It drives us to try and appease an audience, or to try and impress somebody out of an ego that just kind of needs to be like, do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me? Right? There's something that burns inside of all of us for greatness. that there's this thing that, like, we want to experience something great. Have you ever stood in the presence of greatness before? Where you're like, oh, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a concert, maybe it's a nature thing, a moment. But I always think of the Grand Canyon. Like you just stand in the presence of greatness and you're like, wow, there's something great about this. That we long to experience greatness. That's something in our hearts. But not only that, like some of us, we long to possess or have something great. Like some of us are chasing after greatness to try and somehow tackle it or own it. Like we want a great house or the new tech or some toy or a relationship, or what I think of is like a sweet car, right? Does anybody know what kind of car that is? I literally Googled the most expensive car and that's all I, what is it? A Gotti? I don't know, but I don't ever think I'll own a car like that, right? Oh yeah, it's a Porsche. Wow. We're going to get there, people. We're going to get there, right? That some of us were like, man, I don't just want to experience greatness. I want to own greatness. There's something about like holding something that's so precious, valuable. It's like great, right? And then there's something that I think many of us feel is maybe the third category of greatness, is that we want to achieve something great. That we want our lives to be great in some way, somehow. Maybe it's work, a sport, academics, leadership, music, whatever it is, that we want to be great. And I think of this guy who's just the epitome of greatness. Does anybody know who that is? Me neither. He won a Nobel Peace Prize, right? Or a Nobel Prize, a literary Nobel Prize, right? That we long for an award, which I just look at him and he looks really tired, right? He looks really tired and a little crooked with the thing there, you know, the divider. You get it. That we long to achieve something great, right? And greatness, it almost feels like to me that greatness is something we have to break into. It's like, man, if I can just kind of pass over the threshold and find greatness. It reminds me when I was early married, my wife and I, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, okay? And in our one-bedroom apartment, I remember one night I was going out and I was getting some things, running errands or something like that. I came inside, I took in all the things that needed taken in. And as I came in, I went to bed and I woke up and it's Sunday morning. And I was like, I want to be a pastor when I grow up, right? So Sundays are kind of a big day. So I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I can't find my keys, right? And I'm looking everywhere frantically. Have you ever lost your keys before? It's awful. So I'm like looking all over the place trying to find my keys and I can't seem to find them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where are my keys at? And I remember, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I know I drove last night. Where are my keys? Oh, I wonder if they're in my car, which was somehow locked, right? You ever done that before? Don't you judge me. You've done it. You've done where you lock your keys in your car. I locked my keys in the car. It's Sunday morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, how in the world? And this was like the second time I did it in like 6 months. Ask my wife, all right? She knows. It was like, I locked my keys in my car. I had to call somebody to somehow break in and attain and get my keys. And I don't know about you, but the way I work is when I can't get something, when I can't have what I need, I get frustrated and I get really frustrated with stupid stuff. And this is like stupid in my opinion. I'm like, come on. The keys, like I just need a keys. I don't have a spare set of keys. I like get frustrated. I get irritated. I get more aggressive. I just start slamming the lock to try and get in. It's like all of us are trying to break in to experience greatness in some ways. It's like we can't seem to attain it. And what's funny to me is this, you guys know this, that you can experience something great, but that doesn't make you great, right? So some of you have experienced something great. But that doesn't make you necessarily great. Or you've seen somebody experience something great. Maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon. It doesn't make you great necessarily, right? So some of you have some great things, but you don't feel so great, right? Not only that, that we know this, that you can experience greatness but not be great. You can have great things but not be great. And then some of us, we can achieve great things and not actually be all that great. Reminds me of these three guys up here. Anybody know all three of those guys? Wow, that's interesting to me. I asked several people this morning that are on our staff that are young adults, and very few of them knew all three. these three guys, most of you probably know Steve Jobs. He created Apple, innovative mind, right? Many would say he was one of the most successful people on the planet ever to live, right? Very great human being. Wouldn't you want to be like him? Except he was estranged from his daughter, didn't claim to know her until later in life, didn't even claim like she was real in his life, right? So his family didn't think he was all that great. In fact, the coworkers that he worked for, all of them were stressed out. He was a cruel workmaster. He wasn't all that great. O.J. Simpson's in the middle there. Maybe you've heard the name, right? If you know any of his story, he was a famous actor, NFL player, but he's went on trial for doing some pretty awful things, right? Not all that great of a human being. The last person on the end, which I guess many people didn't necessarily know this. This was big news when I was young, I guess. I don't know. But Tiger Woods there. He was a famous golfer, the greatest of all time, right? 15 major championships, and yet had multiple affairs, was addicted, and had to run into recovery for a lot of different things. There's a guy, maybe you've heard of him. His name's Ryan Holiday. He's a kind of self-help book type author. I read some of his stuff. He's fascinating to me. He says this, appearances are deceiving. Impressing people is utterly different than being truly impressive. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Here's the thing. I wonder if just for a minute, if you can go with me here, I wonder if we get greatness backwards. I wonder if we think that maybe we can achieve greatness by climbing higher and higher and seeing how far it will take us, and yet we get it backwards. Jesus has something to tell us in Luke chapter 22 tonight. I want to set the scene as we do that. Jesus is hours away before his trial. Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet. They're having a last meal together that during the conversation at dinner, it's taking some wild twists and turns, and like the disciples are kind of on the edge of their seat, a little anxious. And Jesus is telling them that one of his disciples is about to betray him. One of them is about to turn him in. One of them is about to go for the enemy, right? So Jesus, at this moment, he's telling them all these things. This is all happening. And what happens next is a dispute arose among them to which of them was considered the greatest. That's fascinating to me. I love how real the Bible is, because you're like, Jesus is like, all right, one of y'all is going to betray me. And then they start looking at each other and they go, yeah, all right. Who's like the best among us? Like, yeah, if you had to pick Jesus, like, I don't know how they even got this whole thing going, but like during Jesus's most critical time, the disciples' eyes aren't on him. They're on themselves. They're worrying about who gets the recognition, who's achieved the most, who's impressive, who's got the best resume, who's the greatest, right? Could you imagine? I bet you Peter's like, guys, I walked on water. Like, come on, right? Like John's like, I'm a son of thunder. Like I got stuff happening. I wonder if Jane or John's like the one, I'm the one that Jesus loves, right? We all know it wasn't Bartholomew, because most of you didn't know he was a disciple until just now, right? Like Bartholomew just was kind of there happening, right? But apparently this was a debate that was common for them. Apparently this was a debate that wasn't like abnormal for them to have, because earlier in Luke's gospel, Luke says this, they were all amazed as Jesus is getting ready to, he cast out this gnarly demon. All the people were amazed at the greatness of God in this moment. And everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did. And watch what happens a couple verses after that. An argument started. This sounds familiar. Among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Tells me something, guys, that when I stop being amazed at the greatness of our God, what will happen is I'll start arguing about who's the greatest among us. That when I stop marveling at the wonder and majesty and power of our God, what I'll do is I'll start muttering about how great I am. That's where the disciples, they found themselves, that they were bickering about their greatness in front of God. Could you imagine that? Like, they're bickering in front of God. Think about that. Like, Peter's like, I walked on water. Jesus is like, I made the ocean. It's like, oh, all right, you got me there. Didn't think about that, right? John's like, I'm the one that is loved. Jesus is like, I am love. God is love and I am God. Like, well, I'm the disciple that spoke up when nobody, when all these cowards were afraid to. And Jesus is like, I created the world in a word from my mouth. Well, you think you're great? You think you got a chip on your shoulder? You think you got reason to be here? I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but it's like bragging that Braden can play basketball in front of LeBron. Like that's a terrible analogy because you're like, not because I don't know how you're a ball player, but LeBron's, you know, you're like, I'm all right. I could hold my own playing LeBron, right? But like, you're like, I'm nothing compared to LeBron. That's not even close to these guys talking and bragging in front of God Almighty. Jesus, what he says to them earlier in Luke 9, he says this. He says, you know what? If you want to be great, be like these kids for a second, which I think is interesting. I got two kids. I got two boys. I think I got a picture of them. Everybody go, aw, right? You don't mean it. I told you to say it. It's okay. But that's Henry and that's Denver. And my two boys, here's what I know about my boys, okay? That they cannot do anything for themselves. Nothing. They are not self-reliant. They literally can do nothing by themselves. They require, if I don't wake up or my wife doesn't wake up, they won't eat. Like, they'll just cry. That's all they'll do because they have no self-reliance. Jesus says, if you want to be great, recognize that you're a child. You think you're self-reliant? You think you got something to brag about? You got nothing to brag about. There's nothing. Like, give the gift of life, is that a gift? It is a gift that you are on this planet, but often we're no different than the disciples. We bicker about being who's the best. We compare and we compete about our greatness, and we break into try and get greatness ourselves. And here's what happens when you try and break to get greatness, when you try and break into it and somehow try, what happens is you usually break yourself in the process. You usually break other people and hurt other people. And I often wonder that the great things we achieve, quote unquote, I wonder if they're often worth it. Maybe greatness isn't something to achieve or go after or try and attain or break into. Maybe greatness, maybe just maybe, it's what Jesus said, is something that's unlocked. Tonight, I want to give you four keys of greatness. They're real simple. Four keys. And I want you to talk about them in a chance here in a few moments together in some discussion groups. But let's see what Jesus does. I just want you to read this in the scriptures. I want you to see, I'm not like taking anything out here. Jesus said to them in verse 25, he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, Lord, that's just people who don't know God. The Gentiles lord it over them. And those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, should be like a child. First thing about greatness that we learn is greatness stoops down. Greatness stoops down. In a world that wants to rise up, Jesus says, you stoop down. We live in a culture that seeks to climb a social ladder to look, to get to the very top, to look down on others. And if you want to keep being great, you got to keep climbing higher. You got to throw your weight around. You got to push others down so that you can somehow get ahead, bash others online so that you can get your views and your things across, tear other people's names down and build up your own. Greatness is often one that we don't stoop down. We rise up. We challenge, we puff out our chests. And I'll tell you this, man, I cannot tell you. Our world, I was talking to a buddy this afternoon, our world is so used to pride. There is so much pride in our world. Can I tell you this? It goes farther than that. There's so much pride in our churches. There's so much pride in me. And there's so much pride in you. And Jesus, what he says is, you want to be great? Get rid of your pride and stoop lower. Get low. Don't stand tall. Don't puff out your chest. Don't rise up. Get lower. Get on your knees somehow. Value others above yourself. See that other people are made in the image of God. You don't push people down. You lift others up and you keep stooping lower. St. Augustine says this, do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan to build a tower? That will pierce the clouds, lay first a foundation of humility. Guys, I want you to hear a principle, okay? I want you to hear a principle. Listen, I don't have a slide for it or anything. If God wants to take you farther, he will first take you lower. If God wants to take you farther, he will first take you lower. And some of us, we're so proud in our hearts that God can't use us. It's like we pushed him out and we're so focused on ourselves. We're so proud. And what's fascinating to me is Jesus had just got done, God of heaven, stooping as low as he could to the people that he created, their feet after dirt was all on them, and he began to wash their feet. Greatness stoops lower. Can I ask you, is there pride in your heart? Are you chasing after greatness, trying to make a name for yourself? Some of you are. Some of you are, and you're like really concerned about it. And I just want you to know that there's only one hero in the end of this thing. There's only one celebrity, one name that's above all other names. His name's Jesus. And the movement of Jesus is built on people who are nameless and faceless. Okay? I'll prove it to you. I was led to the Lord by my grandma. Her name's Patty Brown. I have no idea who led my grandma to the Lord. As quick as a generation has gone, I don't even know. Like, I don't know. That Jesus's movement, it's not based on you. It's not based on anybody. That many of us, we just want to get recognized. I think this is the most important key that Jesus is trying to make here, is that greatness, it first stoops down, because most of us are so focused on trying to get attention for ourselves. But Jesus, what he wants them to see is that the King of Kings stoops down for us so that we would stoop down lower and point to the one, not us, who's great, but the one who is great, the one who is worth every part of our worship and attention. Watch what it goes on to say next. It goes on to say this in verse 26. It says, And the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. The second key to greatness is this: it's greatness serves always. In a world that wants to take for itself, Jesus says, you serve. Do I have that next quote up there, Timothy Keller? Just go to the next slide there. I don't have it. That's all right. We'll skip it. That's all okay. This one's better. I don't know if it's better, but it's good. It says this, all right? If servanthood is beneath you, leadership's above you. If servanthood is beneath you, if you're not willing to serve, you won't be good at leading. That God, what he does is God himself stooped down so low so that he could serve in a way that we would be served, right? And so some of us, we are so concerned about getting our name great. We're so concerned about our greatness. We're so concerned maybe about leadership, but a servanthood is beneath you, leadership's above you. And to follow Jesus means this. It means at minimum to serve others. It does. To follow Jesus. If you want to love Jesus and love God, God says this, you love me by the way that you love others. Shows up like that. He connects the two. Matthew 22, you go check me on it. Jesus, when he says, "What? How do we do that?" A couple weeks ago, I was over at my in-law's house, and my father-in-law was making us dinner, and this is really weird because I'm going to share a time of when I served, okay? So it feels weird to do this, okay? I'm not flexing or anything like that, all right? But my father-in-law was like, "Hey, if your boys want to play in the yard, there's a bunch of dog poop out there." He said, you gotta clean up that. And so I'm like, all right. So I got the pooper scooper. The boys didn't even play in the yard. And I'm out there scooping somebody else's dog poop. I'm like, I don't even know. I don't want to brag or anything like that. Okay. But you know what? You know what I was struck by? I was struck by this. I remember when he said it, I'm like, oh, there's an opportunity. I can do that. I saw a need. I'm like, I can do that. And then I just did it, right? Guys, I think sometimes we're like, well, where do I serve? Where do I serve? I think at minimum is to look for a need, go, I can do that, and that one's mine. It's to look for a need and go, that one's mine. I wonder if there's so many opportunities in our days and in our lives that literally there's chances for us to serve. Jesus, that was his. He saw the need. He looked for the need. He saw dirty feet. He's like, well, these guys all got proud hearts. He's like, I can do that. Some of us, that's the mindset we need to somehow get our brains around, because if you want to be great, you serve, not because people deserve it, not because you feel like it, not because you want to be recognized for doing something good or to get something from somebody later because you serve them. Why would you serve? Because you have an incredibly great God who served you. He served you. And so if you love that God, you would then give your life away. And somehow, in the process of giving it away, you find your life. That you look for a need. You see a need. You go, this one's mine. And then you do it. Some of you, you need to do this in your homes. Like, you live with family members, and they drive you nuts. And you have siblings, and you're like, oh my gosh, they leave stuff everywhere around this house. Or, man, the dishes, or whatever. And I wonder if all of those many moments of frustration all of a sudden could be transformed for the glory of God to go, look, I know it might be beneath me in some sense. I might think that, but I wonder if there's an opportunity here that God wants me to somehow love him and love others by the way I serve. Some of you, it's not just home, it's in the church. Maybe for you, you're like, man, there's opportunities here. Like, I texted a bunch of you. Some of you were just awesome. Most of you, all of you that I texted were awesome. All right. Sorry about that. All right. But I texted so many people, and you're like, how can I play a part? I want to be in. I'm in. Can I serve ice cream? I'm in. Right? I can do that. I can do that. That there's this mindset that none of us are better than each other, but greatness somehow just goes, see a need, I'm going to serve it. Some of you, it's for strangers that you meet in the parking lot or whatever it is, friends or whatever. It's to look for the need in your life and in your days and just to go, this one's mine. We're rounding home here. Verse 28 says this, you are those who have stood by me in all my trials, Jesus says. It's interesting to me that Jesus even notes this as I was reading this week. It's fascinating. He encouraged his disciples by the fact that they have stood by him in many trials. If you're like, what kind of trials? They had chaotic crowds that were rushing Jesus that the disciples stood with him by. The crowds were leaving and dismissing Jesus and rejecting Jesus that the disciples stood by him. That the Pharisees were accusing Jesus, the disciples stood by him. That the government officials were questioning Jesus, they stood by him. That there was disease, death, and demonic powers, and Jesus would often find himself, he's like, let's go there. And the disciples were like, I'm scared to death, but I'll stand by you. Right? They didn't stand by him all the way to the end, because greatness stands all the way to the end. That's who God is. But I think what Jesus was trying to say is something very key, that greatness, if you want to be great, you stand firm. You stand firm. In a world that wants to run out or run away or run around, you stand firm. And when things get hard, often we run. When things get boring, we run. When things get inconvenient, we run. When things get awkward or uncomfortable, we often run, right? Jesus, he says, you want to be great? Stand firm. Stand strong. You ever met somebody who stood in a position for a long time? Maybe a coach, a pastor, a teacher. They just been like faithful. Like, I'm sure it's not been easy or whatever it is, but they've just stood there for a long time. There's something great about those people, isn't there? You're like, man, how do you do it? I want to somehow learn from you, because you know what happens is life has a lots of goods, highs, lows, bads, uglies. In the good times, it's easy to go, man, things are going really well, and that there's other opportunities that sometimes come along, and it's easy to go, I think I'm going to take a better opportunity. Things are going so well. But to stay, I'm going to stay. Sometimes life gets hard and you're like, man, it'd be easier for me to run out right now. And to go, you know what, even though it's hard, I'm willing to stay, because that's what it means to be greatness. That there's this steadiness in greatness. That greatness isn't a moment. It's not a flash in the pan, so to speak. That greatness is so much bigger than that. Some of you don't know this, and I'm sad that you don't, but I went viral on TikTok. It's been a few years, okay? All right, some of you have seen this. Some of you haven't. It's pretty great. I don't want to brag or anything like that, but probably doing better than you. All right. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I had 4.4 million views because I just had to look this past week. Can I tell you this? That was 5 years ago. Did you know I was viral on TikTok? No. It was gone in a moment. Gone in a moment. And I wasn't striving to be viral on TikTok. Some of you are like, wow, that means a lot to you. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I need to search my heart on that. But I'll tell you, man, Some of you are striving for that. Some of you are, like, legitimately. You want to be seen by others. You want the views. You want to be like 4 million people looking at you. Like, that'd be awesome or whatever. And I'll tell you, man, it's gone in a minute. And you're like, I'm not even sure what was that? That was weird. It was really weird. America's Got Talent. Anybody watch that? Anybody watch this current season? You see the guy who raps off the spot? Chris Turner? Look him up, man. It's fascinating. He's awesome. He didn't win last night. Really sad. But America's Got Talent, the reason I told you that, they reached out to us. They didn't realize it was a little, I just lip sync a song with some other people. Like, it wasn't just me that went viral. But like this is what it means to be great. This is what some people chase their whole life around. I think greatness, instead of popularity, that fades fast. Greatness are like pillars that stand strong. Pillars. You know what a pillar does? It stands strong. It's not real glamorous. People don't look at it. But a pillar, it stands strong to build something great that has the benefit for others so that they can enjoy. Last thing on greatness, okay? Greatness says this, verse 30, I want to jump down to, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones. He's talking to his disciples, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Last thing about greatness, greatness sits responsibly. In a world that's sitting in judgment and arrogance, you sit humbly and responsibly, is what Jesus said. Some of you have the chance to have influence, leadership, or you hold a position in your job, or you just have natural charisma that like your friends just, you have influence in their lives. And then some of you one day will have positions of leadership and different things like that. And I will just tell you this, if you sit in a seat of leadership in any form, sit in it responsibly. The world does not need another power-hungry, insecure influencer or leader. It doesn't. What it needs is secure leaders who use their benefit, their position, their influence, their authority, their power. They submit it to Jesus, give him the glory, and use it for the benefit of others to somehow bless them. Don't be irresponsible with your greatness, is what Jesus is saying. He's saying don't be irresponsible with it, because one day you'll have to be responsible for it. You'll be responsible to the one who is greatest among all of us, and that's Jesus himself. I want to invite the band to kind of make their way up, because we want to close in a song, and then what we're going to do from there is I want to give you just about 30 minutes or so, 30 minutes, to just kind of take some time in some circles to chat about what God might have done tonight. But I want you to know something. Why in the world would we talk about greatness? Why? Well, one, the reason we'll talk about greatness tonight is because some of you need to know the one who is great. Some of you, you've never met the one who's great. And can I tell you this? The one who's great stooped for you. He stooped for you. He came, he crossed heaven all the way to earth. He spanned the galaxy for you. Did you know that the one who is great, the greatest among all, he not only stooped for you, but he served you? He served you. In fact, he preserved his word in such a way so that you would hear it tonight, so that you might somehow be encouraged, that you would somehow know the hope of him. But not only did he serve you in that way, he ended up giving his life for you on a cross. He went to death to serve you. That's the kind of God we have. But not only that, we have a God who stands firm, who says, I promise I'll be with you to the very end. And we have a God who sits on a throne, not one of judgment. You check me. Hebrews says this. He sits on a throne right now of grace. And what he wants you to know tonight, and what he wants us to be reminded of, to sing about, is the one who is the greatest among us, that he himself has grace for you tonight. Some of you have been longing for greatness. You've been chasing after greatness. And what's happened is, quite honestly, you've broken yourself. Or you've broken other relationships. And what Jesus wants you to know is this tonight, that even in your attempts to be great, that there's grace for you to receive. So tonight, I want to do this. I simply want us to respond as we sing. And maybe the question for you tonight is this, that you need to wrestle with. Am I amazed with God, or am I arguing about my own greatness? Am I like amazed or marveling at the wonder of who Jesus is, or am I striving to be great, to somehow make a name for myself in this world that will be gone in an instant. I just want to invite you just in this moment to maybe bow your head. Jesus, we just want to respond to you tonight. Some of us need to respond to your grace. Some of us, quite honestly, Lord, we just need to repent and go, God, bring us lower. Bring us to our knees. Bring us lower, because we thought we're something when we're nothing. Some of us, Lord, tonight, we're sitting in positions of greatness. Maybe we have a chance to be a leader in some ways. Maybe we have a chance to influence others. Maybe we have a job position or whatever the case. And we've been using our role irresponsibly. And tonight we want to just repent and go, God, would you use my little position here in this slice of dirt to somehow bring glory to you, Jesus, and for the benefit of others. Lord, I pray we'd respond tonight. I pray this in your name. Amen.